In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christmas is only 12 days away. And for some of us, that means time is running out to shop for those gifts. You see, since the mid-19th century, Santa Claus and gift exchanging have replaced the celebration of the advent of Christ and giving to the poor and needy without expecting anything in return. So that begs the question, what is the true meaning of Christmas? More specifically, why was Jesus born? That's what I want to talk about today. Why was Jesus born? The prophet Isaiah answers that question in our first reading today when he foretold the coming of Jesus. Listen again as I read Isaiah's prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. Isaiah said God had called him to bring good news to the oppressed, or as it is put in the New Testament, the poor. The gospel writer Luke confirms that Isaiah's call was the same as Jesus' mission. Jesus himself explained why he came to earth during his first sermon in Nazareth, his hometown. When you read that passage from Isaiah, and Luke tells us in chapter 4 that as an honored guest at a synagogue worship, our Lord was invited to read from the scroll. Now, whether it was the assigned passage for the day or a passage that our Lord himself chose, we don't know that for sure. But we know that he read those words from Isaiah 61. After reading Isaiah's prophecy, Jesus sat down and then proclaimed, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You see, what that means is this. It is in Jesus and through his life and ministry that the promises of our God are fulfilled and realized. In Jesus, God's abundant grace is available to you and me. So is God's mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in his courage and his way of the cross, we face the difficulties that this world has brought us. Difficulties such as the COVID-19 pandemic, unemployment, and economic hardships. My friends, Jesus came to bring good news to the poor. The poor, you see, whose lives have for so long been filled with nothing but bad news. Now they get a little good news from Jesus. In Luke 6:20, Jesus told his disciples, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." My friends, that was good news to the poor. And remember what Jesus told the rich young ruler in Mark 10:21, who wanted to know what he should do to inherit eternal life? Jesus told him this: go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. That too was good news to the poor. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus gave an extra attention and welcome to the poor and the oppressed. You see, wherever Jesus went, huge crowds followed him because they wanted to hear his words of hope and encouragement. Hearing those words of Isaiah 61, quoted by Jesus as defining his purpose, confirms to me the importance of helping the poor and welcoming the strangers among us. You see, it's about considering how the marginalized in our society are given a legitimate place. My friends, Jesus also came to bind up the brokenhearted. My Bible tells me that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Here's the good news. Though you may feel defeated sometimes, God, our God, is closer than you realize. God is always with you and can heal your heart. The Bible tells us that God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, so the picture in Isaiah 61 is a picture of restoring what is broken, of challenging that which does the breaking, of bringing healing to those who are hurting. You see, my friends, there are broken-hearted people all around us, hearts that are broken because a marriage has failed, hearts that are broken because of the death of a dearly beloved family member. All of them may have deep and painful wounds inside of them. That's why Jesus called us to bind up their wounds, to help clean out the infection by patiently and lovingly listening and by sharing with them what God has done for you and for me, that God's words can be an antibiotic to clean their wounds. Dealing with a broken heart can often feel as if there's nothing that can fix it, regardless of the cause. However, the one thing that is true about those feelings is that God's words and his love can help you get through your broken heart. It may not feel as if spending time reading Bible verses or becoming intimate with Jesus through prayer can solve your problem, but doing that can help you through your brokenness. And although some may think that you have to have been settled in your faith for many, many years in order for God to heal your broken heart, you see, all God really needs for you is to bring your cares to him. That's the good news in Christ Jesus. Sometimes in the church, we are so busy that we don't have time for brothers and sisters who are hurting. So they don't get healed, and we never get to see God's healing miracle at work. But I have come to tell you tonight, there is a balm in Gilead. To make the wounded whole, there is a balm in Gilead to save a sin-sick soul. Yes, sometimes I feel discouraged, you know, and I feel like I can't go on. Oh, but the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. Yes, my brothers and sisters, there is a balm in Gilead. that makes the wounded whole. Why was Jesus born? Jesus also came among us to proclaim liberty to those who are captive to sin, and freedom to those who are enslaved by Satan. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, during the past few months, we have been reminded of the sin of injustices in our nation. Jesus came among us to challenge the injustices, those especially against the poor, people of color, and immigrants. In Isaiah 61, we also hear the words of righteousness, which is often used along with justice. This gives the idea that justice is right living, doing the right thing, going the right way. My friends, Isaiah also proclaims liberty to the captives. Some people are captives who are held down because of their skin is a different color, or they were born in a different country. How many do you know who are captives because they went through a financial disaster, a failed business, or a personal bankruptcy, and people hold all that against them? But Jesus calls us to set them free, to forget about any chains that seem to hold them back, to love them, and to accept them. So God's call to us means combining his command to do justice and love mercy with a whole life of spiritual depth and integrity. That's exactly what the prophet Micah suggested in the answer to today's spiritual and political question. Micah said, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before your God." Yes, my friends, you see, justice without mercy, or mercy without justice, or either one of those without spiritual humility is impossible. Pursuing justice and mercy is more than spending an hour or so in church. My friends, God's desire for justice is lived out beyond the walls of this church in everything we do. So let me ask you again, why was Jesus born? And what was his calling? The answer is simple. Jesus came to bring good news of salvation, good news of hope, and good news of love. And that's what we should be celebrating this Christmas. God's greatest gift to us. That's the true meaning of Christmas. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.